We live in a twilight world. So Ukraine is back in the headlines. It's, you know, the spotlight is back on Ukraine, the war in Ukraine. We are roughly around 1,000 days of war now. And yeah, man, it's center stage. Now, as much as I don't really like to look at Ukraine anymore, my soul is intertwined with the Ukraine war no matter what now. All because of my previous actions, I'm always going to be connected to Ukraine no matter how much I try and run away from it. So yeah, you know, some days I want to talk about it, some days I don't want to talk about it. You know, obviously when I talk about it, I'm giving energy and attention to the situation, which makes me just as bad as the mainstream media, just as bad as anything, which means I'm contradictory to my whole, you know, concept of illusion warfare, right? I am now participating within the illusion and bring it into reality. But here we are. It is what it is. Lots of things have happened. I'll probably do lots of mini videos in regards to Ukraine. First things first, let's look at some news regarding the UK military and the Ministry of Defence retiring some of its equipment.
So today, with full backing from our service chiefs, I can confirm that 6 outdated military capabilities will be taken out of service.
I mean, first things first, look at this fucking fuckhead over here on a phone, overweight with obviously pink, yeah, purple, the color of illusion, and then you've got this you know, the Wizard of Oz green, emerald green, which is the adjacent color to purple on the color wheel. So is that a signal to illusion? I don't know, you know, make of that what you will. But anyway, let's listen to what this guy's got to say.
These decisions are set to save the MOD £150 million over the next 2 years and up to £500 million over 5 years. Savings that will be retained in full in defence. And alongside this statement, Madam Deputy Speaker, I've laid a WMS to outline the detail of my decommissioning decisions. These include NHS HMS Northumberland, a frigate with structural damage that makes her simply uneconomical to repair. 46 Watchkeeper Mark 1s, a 14-year-old army drone, which technology has overtaken.
So there you go, 46 old army drones that are just, you know, not up to standard. No doubt they're going to end up in Ukraine.
HMS Albion and HMS Bulwark, landing ships.
HMS Albion and HMS Bulwark, they were the two Royal Marine ships that were specifically for the Royal Marines. They had kind of like an amphibious dock inside, so landing craft could come out of them. Do you know what I mean? Like the back would kind of open up, water would fill up in the back, and then so a landing craft could land in and out. And it was used to deploy the Royal Marines. So, yeah, again, where does that leave the Royal Marines now?
Both effectively retired by previous ministers, but soon.
And no doubt they will both end up being given to the Ukraine Navy with the sole purpose of being blown up. This creates the illusion of war. They'll hand these ships over. These three ships, the frigates and the two Royal Marine ships, over to Ukraine. And it won't be long before they're destroyed. And then they'll just say, you know, it goes down as a battlefield casualty. Although we know that those ships were due for the scrapyard anyway, right?
Officially kept on the books at a cost of £9 million a year. 14 Chinooks, some over 35 years old, accelerated out of service.
Now, that's interesting. 14 Chinook helicopters. That's a lot of Chinook helicopters, really. So for those who don't know, if you're not aware of what a Chinook is the infamous long helicopter with two propellers. You know, a bit of a workhorse in regards to like military activity. Yeah, they've been around since the Vietnam War. quite iconic, really. But yeah, 14 of them are going to be handed over to Ukraine, no doubt. I mean, he hasn't said that. That's just my theory going on what's been happening historically in the last couple of years. Yet again, 14 Chinook helicopters that will get blown up and will be just there lying in a field somewhere in Ukraine, creating the illusions of war. And no doubt you'll get the classic thing of people standing next to a downed Chinook, taking selfies, taking TikTok videos and so on, you know, like a prop on this world stage fear that we find ourselves upon. You know, you smash it, you have a Chinook smashed up at a key location where many average everyday people drive past. They're going to get out and they're going to take selfies next to it. And this is, of course, is going to now flood social media via everyday regular people. Now, this is the TikTok war that's going on, and it's going to create the illusion of war in the minds of people who are not in Ukraine. So when you meet the average person on the street and they say, yeah, the war in Ukraine is pretty bad, and they say, well, I've got a friend in Ukraine, look at the pictures they send me, and of course their Instagram and their TikTok is them just standing next to a downed Chinook, standing next to an old Leopard tank, an old Challenger tank, and so on, right? You see how this is all unfolding now. The illusions of war. Let's see what else.
Two wave class tankers, neither of which has been to sea for years, and 17 Puma helicopters, some with over 50 years flying, will not be extended.
17 Puma helicopters. 17 Puma helicopters on top of 14 Chinooks. That's practically a whole army air corps they're going to probably give to Ukraine. So now Pumas are just going to be, like I said, scattered all across Ukraine, thus adding more props and set dressings to Ukraine, making it look like a war zone, fully immersive walkthrough war zone theater set, film set, movie set, whatever you want to call it. Things are definitely escalating now, especially with Trump being elected. I mean, right now, at the moment of this recording, it's the 20th. Yeah, XX, the 20th of November. Trump doesn't take power until, I think his inauguration is the 20th of January, funny enough. XX, the 20th of January. Biden, on his way out, clearly seems to be given a lot of permissions and crossing a lot of lines before he finally gives up power. Of course, Biden and Trump are fictional characters, City of London actors. I'm not going back on that. But you see how it works, you know. As this character, Biden, exits stage left of his political acting career, he's going to now open the gates on loads of controversial things that are really going to escalate the war, such as the use of long-range attack missiles. And Britain has also given Ukraine permission to use the Storm Shadow missiles in Russian territory. Once again, this really is going to escalate it. So we're going to see what Trump's going to do when he gets in. He's either going to escalate himself or he's going to pull out troops. We'll talk about that in a different video.
And I recognise that these will mean a lot to many who've sailed and flown in them during their deployments around the world. They have provided a valuable capability over the years, but their work is done. We must look now to the future. And all current personnel will be redeployed or retrained. No one will be made redundant. As the First Sea Lord says about these retirements, and I quote, "The threat is changing, so we must have the self-confidence to make the changes required." And of course, Madam Deputy Speaker, be in no doubt, the future for our Royal Marines and their elite force will be reinforced in the SDR. These are common sense decisions which previous governments failed to take. Decisions that will secure better value for money for the taxpayer and better outcomes for the military. Decisions which are all backed by the chiefs and taken in consultation with SDR reviewers. Allies have been informed, and we have constant dialogue with NATO. These will not be the last difficult decisions I will have to make to fix the defence inheritance that we were left with. but they will help it get a grip of finances now, and they will give greater scope to renew our forces for the future as we look towards the Strategic Defence Review and to 2.5%. And I want to thank the Chiefs for their determination to work together with me on this. Third, Madam Deputy Speaker, on reform. I have to say defence reform has been of little interest to recent defence secretaries. It doesn't make headlines, it doesn't advance careers, but how defence works must change.
It's interesting to see, or what we're going to see Britain do. Now, Britain has got two militaries, right? There's the overt military that anyone from Britain can join, the one that's always put centre stage. And Britain has a secret military, an Operation Gladio-style clandestine force scattered all across the world. No, they don't ever talk about, right? Britain also has the largest intelligence community in the world, the biggest intelligence network in the world, the biggest clandestine secret hidden forces in the world they don't talk about. In fact, the Ministry of Defence spends billions and billions on propaganda, making it look like they've got the shittest military in the world. This is all to keep themselves hidden and make you think that the USA, China, Russia and the EU and India and other are the top militaries and that Britain is now a former joke. This is all part of their whole grand deception. So that when someone like me comes along and says, you know, that war in Ukraine is being puppeteered by the British Empire, they laugh at you, right? They laugh you out of the room. Yeah. The average truther, the average conspiracy theorist, they have this idea that the Jews run the world. And the average normie, they think that the CIA runs the world. They really think that the USA has the most powerful military in the world. When in fact, the British Empire has designed the US military to lose every war it takes part in. So in many ways, American military might is the best at what it does, losing war. They successfully lose every war they're in, which is what they're designed to do. I'm going to be a big, bulky army that gets his ass kicked for decades at a time. And the whole point is to filter tax money into a war and all of this kind of shit. Obviously, you've got Vietnam and you've got Afghanistan. Like I said, Britain has two militaries. The secret one, which often plays the role of the Ghost Legion. And it's not made up of people just from Britain. It's made up from people all across the world. The Middle East, Asia. And they have clandestine forces that are just sitting around. Exactly like we know of the mythology of Operation Gladio. It's actual overt military force that they do talk about. They're actually pretty lethal. The Parachute Regiment and the Royal Marines do actually get out and about. And what a lot of what they do is kept secret. Now, I know I knew a young Royal Marine who went to West Africa to deal with the pirate crisis. If you remember, we're talking 10, maybe 15 years ago, there was a lot of pirates, Somali pirates, attacking shipping vessels, right? And this was during the Afghanistan war. Now, he went there and he came back. I remember I seen him in the gym. He had a real, you know, a juicy tan on him. And he told me, so I'm not supposed to tell you, but yeah, I've been in West Africa. I've been in Somalia and I'm going to get a medal for what I've done. That obviously means when you get a medal, that means you've been actually shot at. Now, this never made the fucking mainstream media whatsoever. Media blackout and all of these guys, I think in total 8,000 went there. Marines and Parachute Regiment, which are quite a lethal force, went there, all had to sign a non-disclosure. What usually happens in 30 years' time, that's when they'll release books and stuff. The secret war in Somalia, the secret war against pirates, but it won't happen till 30 years. And by that time, no one really care. Now, I remember at that time, what they did was they made the mainstream media really up its attention on the Afghanistan war, which then obviously drew the attention away from pirates and whatsoever. So maybe this Royal Marine's lying to me, but I think he's actually telling the truth. He did disappear for a long time. He was quite with me. You know, I don't know why. I think he looked up to me in the gym, but he was quite, you know, he liked to tell me to impress me, even though he shouldn't really have been talking to anyone. So I also knew him, and I also had a friend whose brother was an officer in the Gurkha Rifles. He was English, but he had become an officer in the Gurkha Rifles. He also was involved, and the Royal Marine and this guy didn't know each other, and they both had the same story. So that's why I kind of think there's some truth to it. Plus he had a tan, plus he'd been away for 6 months, plus he told me a lot of things. And this was back when I was living in London, so I've lost contact with these guys. I've never had a Facebook, I've never had a social media, so it's not like I could ever get these guys back for an interview or anything. Nor would I want them to put their lives or their careers at risk by talking to me. I don't really like doing that, if I'm being honest. So yeah, Britain does have more of a lethal force that goes around the world doing what it's got to do, while the US military is the big bulky side of the British Empire that takes part in things like Vietnam and Afghanistan and loses, with the purpose of losing to draw money and funding. I think we've watched enough of this video. You get the point. That's going to be a lot of old crap that should be going to a scrap heap that I'm pretty sure will end up in Ukraine. We live in a twilight world. There are no friends at dusk.